Our text for this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. Just one verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The poison of worldliness is the topic for this morning. Beware. There are dangers in the world. And here we have a warning sign, a warning statement from the Apostle Paul. Beware of the world. Beware of worldliness. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. In the Bible, we have many of such warning signs. We just came back from Tioman. I'm sure we enjoyed the beach, the clean beach and the clear sea water. Many of us swam. But did you notice the warning sign or not? Beware. I didn't notice it until I went into the water. After I went into the water. And there was a warning sign there that says, beware of sea urchins. Thank God none of us stepped on any sea urchin, which can be very painful. Warning signs! And here we have a warning sign that out there in the world, it is not safe. There is danger. There is pollution. There is poison. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. There are dangers out there that may endanger us, that may spoil and threaten our spiritual health, the poison of worldliness. We go to the wrong places. We get mixed up with the wrong crowd. And then we get influenced by bad habits and practices. We become polluted, we become contaminated. And we lose our testimony. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And Paul here gives the warning. In fact, it is a commandment. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. It is a command. Something we must take heed and do. It's not an option over here. Be not deceived. Why? Because we are living in a world that is utterly deceptive. Because Satan is the god of this world. And this world is characterized by the evil that is sourced in the devil. And who is the devil? What is the devil? He is the evil one. You know the word devil? If you put an apostrophe after the D, well, the devil is the evil, the evil one. He is characterized by evil. And this world is full of evil, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the devil is a father of lies. Is the father of lies. He wants us to believe that good is bad and bad is good. He always turns things upside down. What God calls good, he will say the opposite. He will say it is bad. And what is bad, he will say it is good. And he will tempt you. And when we are deceived, if we fall into this trap, The end is death. It's destruction. The Bible also tells us that Satan is a murderer. Not only the father of lies, but he is a murderer. He's bent on destroying the people of the world. Christians, especially. Christians are targeted. And that's why Paul tells us here, please be not deceived. Don't think that this world is your friend. Don't think that Satan is thinking of your good. Satan is always thinking of your destruction. And you must be able to discern and identify the dangers that are out there. Things that are characterized by the devil, introduced by the devil. And you may stay away from these things and not be deceived by the evil that he introduces. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And the word evil here speaks of anything and everything that is bad and destructive, that characterizes the devil. Immoral things, unholy things, false teachings, false doctrines, evil practices, immorality, things of that sort, you know, anything that goes against the commandments of God. And this comes in the form of communications. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And the word communications here in the original is the word for homiletics. Evil communications, evil homilies. What is homiletics? What are homilies? Well, ICBC students should know this very well, because in our curriculum we have homiletics on Wednesday morning. The homiletics period, students are assigned to preach. They learn how to preach sermons. And Reverend Dr. Craig Swan Yu, professor of homiletics, will critique and give instructions how to preach properly and correctly. Homiletics, homilies, sermons. Yes, evil communications corrupt good manners. We're here talking about evil speaking, evil preaching, evil teaching that comes from the world. Evil philosophies, evil doctrines, evil principles. It's not just the company we keep. You know, some translations render, the modern translations especially, render this verse, evil or bad company or bad companionship corrupt good manners. I don't think it gives the fullness of the meaning of the original in this text where it's translated this way. It's not just company, the company you keep, or the companionship. There's more than that. The communications, the homilies, the teachings, the preachings, the philosophies, the doctrines, the way of life that these evil companions or company that you keep will seek to influence you away from God, to do that which is evil instead of that which is good. And this not only comes from the company that we keep, comes also from the media, whether it be from books or magazines, or from the screen, the internet, or the television, the movies. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. What comes out from them, dear friends, may influence you away from the Lord. And sometimes we think we stand, but Paul warns us, those who think they stand, take heed lest they fall. How you must take heed to the warning signs. And here is one important warning sign from the Lord. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The word corrupt here means to spoil, to pollute, to contaminate, and to render, to contaminate and to pollute and to poison to the extent that one becomes useless. That's what Satan wants us to be. Useless for God. Useless for Christ. Because we become filthy, dirty instruments that God no longer can use. God delights in using what? Clean, sanctified instruments. You study the Old Testament. All the laws with regard to temple service, the Lord requires us to serve Him with clean hands and pure hearts. And Satan wants to make us useless for the Lord. How does he do it? He wants to corrupt. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And once we get corrupted, we become useless for the Lord. And the word good here, good manners, what are they? The word good here speaks of things which are pleasant, things which are desirable. What are things pleasant? What are things desirable? They are the things of Christ, Christ-like traits that we ought to bear and ought to have. It will corrupt Christ-likeness in our lives. We no longer will live and walk like Christ, but like the devil himself. Corruption of Christ-likeness in our lives. Things that are good and pleasant, things that are found in the Lord Jesus Christ, will corrupt good manners. And the word manners here is where we get the word ethics. Ethics. Our morals, or our moral system, our values, our conscience that is governed by the commandments of God. We want our life, our thinking, our feelings to be governed by God's word. And Satan wants to corrupt that, you see. Make it all messed up, confusing, so that we become useless. Just like, you know, a CD. Many a time we save something on a CD, but somehow something, a virus or what, corrupts the CD, the information inside. You want to read it, it's all corrupted. All messed up. Useless. That's what Satan wants to do. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You can't put a good apple into a basket of bad apples in order to make all the bad apples good. The other way around is true. The bad apples will make the good apple bad. It's a principle of nature. There's a spiritual principle here. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So beware of the world. Beware of worldliness. There is poison. And worldliness will poison what? It will poison our behavior. It will poison our behavior. And this is seen in the Corinthian church. Last semester, night class, we offered 1 Corinthians. There are those of you who have taken that course. You know how the Corinthian church found in a city that was utterly immoral, a wicked and evil city, the city of Corinth. The city of Corinth was so immoral and so evil because of the worship of the pagan goddess called Epaphrodite. In one of the Holy Land trips, we visited Greece. And when we visited Greece, we went to see the ancient city of Corinth, now in ruins. And we saw this Acropolis, the highest place of the city on a hill. Highest place is the most important place. And on top of this hill, called the Acropolis, there was this temple. Of course, today in ruins. The temple of the goddess Epaphrodite was known as the goddess of love. No, not the goddess of love, but the goddess of lust. For in those days, in the worship of Aphrodite, the temple of Aphrodite had 1,000 priestesses. And these priestesses functioned as temple prostitutes. And when the people commit sexual immorality and fornication with these priestesses, it's part and parcel of the worship of that goddess. And all kinds of evil fruits will come out of that, so much so that the city of Corinth was an utterly immoral city. But there was a church there, the Corinthian church. God was very gracious to put a church there, a believing group of people who know the Lord Jesus Christ, who heard the gospel, were meant to be the salt and light of this world. And they were supposed to keep themselves separated. That's why Paul reminded them, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He gave that injunction in 2 Corinthians 6:14. It was not the first time they heard it. He had preached and taught them before, but they did not take heed. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. We are in the world, but not to be of the world. God put the Corinthian church there for a reason. But they failed in their duty. They allowed these evil communications to influence them. They befriended the world. And they adopted the methods, the thinking, the wisdom of the world. And it affected their beliefs. So much so that in the Corinthian church, it was a messed up church for sure, wasn't it? All kinds of problems. It affected their behavior. There were church splits. There were divisions in the church. The church was a carnal church, Paul says. You are carnal. You are fleshly. You are worldly. And because of this, it has led to all these envying and strife in the church, fightings and quarrelings, divisions among you, factions. And not only that, there was one member who was very proud that he slept with his own mother, was not ashamed of it. And the church was indifferent to it, didn't take him to task, didn't discipline him at all. How worldliness can really poison the testimony of the church in Corinth, to make the Corinthian church now a useless church, right? In that wicked city. And God placed that church there for sacred purpose, to be the salt and light of the world. The people may know the light of truth, the gospel light, and come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Instead of influencing the world, find the world influencing them. The world came into the church and corrupted the Corinthian church. So for us today, please let us be mindful. Be careful. The kind of friends that we make. It's not that we should not have non-believing friends. I'm not sure we can be very close friends with them, because they have their own thinking, their own philosophy, their way of life. There are things that they do you cannot join them and participate in doing. Have close friends who are those of the same mind, the same spirit, same doctrine, same faith. Let your close and most intimate friends be those who are Christians, godly ones. And yes, we are in the world. We have unbelieving friends. But our purpose and our duty is to share with them the good news, that they may come to a saving knowledge of Christ. So that the activities, that the worldly activities that they do, they will no longer do. They come to the fellowship of the church, they come to worship the Lord, believing in Jesus Christ, and those activities that they will then do will be even more meaningful. Then we can have a close relationship, friendship with them. You see? But if you take pleasure, you have no thought of the kind of friends that you make, and the unbelieving friends that you make, and you get close to, and you have no thought of bearing a Christian testimony to them. You're only a Sunday Christian, but then during the week, at your workplace, or in school, in college or university, at work or at play, you are totally a different person. I have all these friends. I want to enjoy the kind of activities that they do. They may be worldly activities. Well, from Monday to Saturday, worldly activities for me, and on Sunday, I switch. We have two personalities when I do spiritual activities. Spiritual activities only on Sunday, worldly activities the rest of the day. And we don't care the kind of friends that we make. We are not mindful to try to bear a Christian testimony that they might know the gospel of Christ through our words and through our life. We talk their talk. We live the way they live. We go to the places they go to. They smoke and drink, that's fine. As long as Reverend Jeffrey Koo doesn't see me, I can smoke and drink. Or dance. Or do all these worldly things that excites the flesh, and we care nothing of the spirit that's within. The body is a temple of the spirit. Evil communications corrupt good manners. How do we live, dear friends, our lives? And evil communications can also come not only from the company that we keep, but from the media, as I've mentioned just now. The internet can be very addictive. People gamble in the internet and lead to a destruction of their life. And there are computer games people are addicted to. It's very addictive. Just counseled a young man who confessed he was addicted to computer games for many years, and now his life is in a mess. Made utterly useless. And he keeps saying, I'm a useless person, I'm a useless person. Why? Addicted to computer games. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And now he sees himself utterly useless. Doesn't know what to do in life. Incapacitated by the corruptions of the world. And Satan, is very happy. And so for us who are parents, please. We have to pray for our children. We have to warn them. And when they are young, especially when they are old, it's very difficult. But when they are young, keep them away from these danger spots, dangerous places. Teach them this discipline. Ban them from such activities. It will do them good. They may not be happy, but in the future, they will thank you for it. It will save you a lot of heartaches and headaches too, to keep them away from all such worldliness that come from the media. And you have Facebook. I don't have a Facebook. I always keep up people talking about Facebook. Why must we have a Facebook? What's so important about our face? Or so good about our face? We ought to have a Facebook, not a Facebook. And someone wrote something about the Facebook, Christian writer, that Facebook is really all about the ego, the pride of life, really. And sometimes we fall into that trap. Once you go in, it's sometimes difficult to get out of it. Have a Facebook. Why Facebook? Get rid of the Facebook. Have a Facebook. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Worldliness will poison your behavior. Not only will it poison your behavior, it will poison your beliefs. You know, the Corinthian church, instead of following the Apostle Paul, as he followed Christ and followed his teachings and the scriptures, they followed the wisdom of the world, the philosophies and the methods of the world. We read of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul dealt with that extensively. They were enamored. They were thrilled by the wisdom of the world. They were seduced by the wisdom of the world. Paul says God will bring to nothing the wisdom of the world. The foolishness of God is wiser. Yet we are so easily drawn by the wisdom of the world. Because it works out there in the world, we think it works also in our spiritual or Christian life or in the church. Things that work in the world does not mean that they will work in the church or in our spiritual life. And so what happened to the Corinthian church when they adopted the wisdom of the world? All kinds of doctrinal problems, right? How they began to eat food offered to idols? They became idolatrous. How the women started to usurp the authority of the men in the church. How they abused the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. How the spiritual gifts are meant to build up the church, but they were using the spiritual gifts to tear each other down. And then they began even to deny the doctrine of the resurrection. Beginning to depart from the fundamentals of the faith, such basic doctrines they are willing to give up. How's that? See the power of worldliness, the poison that is so permeating. And this poison is very sweet. The devil wants you to taste it, to drink it. But when it enters in, it becomes bitter, it becomes deadly. That's what Satan does he not? Be not deceived. Evil communications, evil homilies. Satan is a preacher. He is very good in his homiletics. But his sermons will lead you to a dead end. Satan was a preacher. Did he not preach to Eve in the garden? What kind of sermon? Yea, hath God said. And he was so persuasive, wasn't he? Very smooth talking. Very tricky, very cunning. He will agree with you first. Then after that, he will cause you to doubt. And then later, he will inject the poison. No, you will not surely die. God is not telling you the truth. I tell you the truth. His truth is a lie. He deceives. And then Eve ate of the fruit. And Adam, and both died. Beware the preaching of Satan. And that's why in this church we have to guard our pulpit very carefully. And that's why in this church we will not adopt the philosophies and the methods of the world. To grow this church, something very popular outside right now, taught in many colleges and seminaries, how to grow the church, and they invite all these church growth gurus with their church growth methods. They say we must sell, market the church, sell the gospel. The gospel is not for sale, dear friends. And the gospel is not cheap either. Grow your church. in 30 days. Get 1,000 members in 30 days. 10,000 in 3 years. Follow my formula. Step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Thank you, but no thanks. We are not in the business of tempting the world to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus does not tempt. It's purely by the preaching of the good news. Men have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you don't repent of your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you and rose again, you will perish. The bad news. We must preach the bad news. Today people preach the good news, but they don't preach the bad news. The bad news is our sin. Bad news is the judgment to come. Bad news is hell. And then there's this good news in Jesus Christ, which is life. We must preach that. And it is the Holy Spirit that will convict and convert. We don't want to win people in the church just because, oh, we want all our seats to be filled. Tempt people to come in. We'll tempt the wrong people and come in for the wrong reasons. And we will invite more problems to the church. Use God's method, God's way. And God will give the increase, not by our own effort, but by His work, so that we know it is He, and we'll give all glory to His name. You see. And for the Far Eastern Bible College as well, God forbid that we will use any unclean methods to teach the Bible. Out there, if you want to be scholarly, you'll be known as a scholar. You must use your human reasoning, human wisdom. You must do critical study, scientific so-called study of the Bible to be scholarly. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the human reason is corrupt. Our mind is blind to the truth because we are born in sin. We are totally depraved. The way to the truth is the way of faith. Not blind faith, but faith based on the truth. And what is the truth? Is divine scripture, not human reason, human method, but divine scripture, God's revelation. And our faith, our belief, our presuppositions must be based on this truth. And God says His word is truth. And so we reject all these higher critical theories and methods. Source, form, redaction, criticism, and what is known as lower criticism or textual criticism, all these scholarly methods, right? You want to get a PhD from these top universities and seminaries today, you must employ these so-called scholarly methods. Then you'll get a pat on the back. Well done. No, I don't want a pat on the back from the scholars of the world, but from the scholar of scholars, the truth himself, Jesus Christ. Because all these methods, the principles, the presuppositions that underlie these methods give you a lower view of Christ and a lower view of Scripture. It causes you to deny your faith even. The inerrancy of Scripture, the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your sermons will all be man-centered rather than Christ-centered. So we reject all these methods. And may the Lord protect and preserve the Far Eastern Bible College, because not many institutions in the world today, I'm talking about biblical institutions, are like FEBC. Many, many have fallen. Many have begun so well. But then because they did not take care to apply this principle here, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. and they allow all these, the leaven of worldliness to come in, all these wrong methods, worldly methods to come in, and then in the end the whole institution, the college or the seminary or the university, is totally dismantled, taken over by false Christ, false prophets, false professors, false teachers, turning up pastors, going to the churches, teaching that Jesus never performed any miracles. Jesus did not die on the cross. Jesus did not rise from the dead. The Bible is full of mistakes. The Bible is just a good moral book. That's all. The book of ethics, but not a book of salvation. Many institutions, I just completed reading two volumes of the history of Princeton Seminary, started by Reformed Puritan men. But one mistake, they did not take care to practice the doctrine of biblical separation. They sent their teachers to Germany. And in Germany, it was the hotbed of rationalism, anti-supernaturalism, and all these liberal studies that came up in the 18th and the 19th centuries. And then they got infected. And then slowly, but surely, seminary fell away. No more. Unless we take care, our very own Bible college will go the same way. God forbid. We pray for FEBC. Satan is definitely not happy. He wants this school destroyed. And how we must pray very hard, dear friends, that God will protect and preserve this school of prophets. And may God preserve and protect our lives too. God is sovereign. Yes, He will take care of us. He protects us. He will preserve us. But we have a responsibility to obey His commandments. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, please help us to be wary. Take heed of Thy warning here. We know, O Lord, how weak we are, and many a time we have failed. Many a time we have fallen to sin. But we pray, O Lord, that You will teach us Thy way. You may change our thinking and our behavior, our activities, to reflect more and more the Christ-likeness of our Savior. And so, Lord, please help us. We need Thee. And may we always remember not to be deceived, for evil communications corrupt good manners. All this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.